Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Now we're joined by Sherry DeBoer. She's Executive Director of the South Dakota Humanities Council. She joins us on the phone. Sherry, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's so nice to be back on the program and to hear your voice.
It's always nice to talk to you, Sherry. I haven't seen you since the book festival in Deadwood, and that's been a few months. So let's get an update of some of the things that you are working on. Some milestones coming up. 45 years, is that right?
The milestone was this year. We had two of them, Lori, and one of them was 45 years of South Dakota Humanities Council. The nonprofit was formed in Brookings in July of 1972 and organized that year with its first executive director. But another one was, it was 15 years ago, and I have to use Jennifer Wooster Widman's words here, our Center for the Book director. 15 years ago was when we turned the first page in Deadwood for our first Festival of Books.
Nice. And I was there. We broadcast live this year, and, there was so much going on at that festival. Tim O'Brien was there. We had lots of veterans coverage.
And, you know, we were so pleased, Lori, that Public Broadcasting decided that they needed to schedule their PBS series on the Vietnam War beginning the Sunday of Festival Week. We thought that was quite serendipitous this year and especially appropriate when we were able to have Tim O'Brien come to the festival and also to Sturgis, South Dakota. The Sturgis community got together and received a big Reed grant and an AARP grant, and they were able to bring Tim O'Brien into the community, work with their veterans group there, and the Sturgis Fort Meade Hospital for Veterans. It was just an incredible, really, Black Hills area effort, and we were so happy that we had both the Spearfish Honor Guard and the Rapid City Native American Tribal Guard to open up the ceremonies when we had Tim O'Brien speak. I think it was really special because right before that, of course, we'd screened 8 excerpts of those 10 programs with that series on the Vietnam War, which, of course, SDPB again, partner there.
And the other day I saw a picture of you, you know, holding one of those great big checks. So let's talk about some fundraising campaigns. And those checks usually mean something good for the readers and for the citizens of South Dakota.
Yeah, it meant a lot of good things for the South Dakota Humanities Council, our board, and especially our board leadership that stepped up and helped us with our stepped up fundraising campaign that began 3 years ago, Lori, and we decided it was time to really get our endowment funds increased, and so at that time, we were able to partner with 3 community foundations in South Dakota, and one of them was the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation, and our goal was a 3-year goal to raise $150,000, and they would do a match, 1-3 of $50,000, and our goal was to be December 31st of 2018, and we were in Sioux Falls with our board chair, former board chair, and some of the major givers to that campaign, and we were at the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation headquarters to receive our $50,000 check 1 year early.
What do you think that means, that fundraising is ahead of schedule like that? What does that say about South Dakota?
Well, it says great things, especially about, I have to acknowledge here, I want to acknowledge the great generosity and philanthropy of the Larson Family Foundation here in Brookings, because a very large gift from them is the one that put us over the top a whole year early, and we just can't be grateful enough for that. But we've had lots of people all over the state. In fact, 90 different people gave to that campaign, and I think what it represents is that they have an interest and want to invest in the future of the Humanities Council, which means cultural programming for all time in perpetuity. And what this is going to mean locally in Sioux Falls is we can do programming that will always get a boost every year of at least $10,000. So it might make a difference in what type of author we might bring in. It might make a difference in a panel discussion that we do, or it could be a video It could be a podcast. It could be all kinds of things. But we think it says that people are supporting our programming and want to invest in the future of having civil conversations about culture.
2017, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Sherry DeBoer, Executive Director of the South Dakota Humanities Council, looking back at some things in 2017. This was the year of the Race and Civility Initiative. How did that go over the year, do you think?
Oh, we really feel like that went so well for us. We really focused not just on one area, but about five different areas. Probably the biggest focus was enabled through the National Endowment for the Humanities, a special gift that they gave us of $15,000. And we were going to match that, first of all, for our grant programming so that we would be most effective in distribution all over the state, was what the Board of Directors decided. And what ended up happening, Lori, was we gave out grants of $62,000 during 2017. We had 14 projects in 11 communities. And we just couldn't be happier about all the different programs. We even had a session at the book festival led by one of our board members, Whitney Rinkhauner from Rapid City, and he spoke with three of the grantees in the Black Hills area that received those funds. And we talked about the importance of Native American issues at Black Hills State. There was forums and town hall meetings conducted by the Cheeseman Foundation, and the film festival in Hill City also reflected that theme. Then also, we had a Bill of Rights exhibit that we brought to the state because of the archives. 52 libraries put the pop-up exhibit, Liberty Through Limits. It was the 225th anniversary of the Bill of Rights, and we focused on that at the book festival with a special presentation. And then we also had seven authors that were tribally enrolled at the book festival. And, of course, the big highlight there was to really help citizens understand what was the background of Black Elk. Who was he as a man? Who was Nicholas Black Elk? And we were so fortunate to have Philip Deloria, Jr., one of the preeminent scholars in tribal studies, at the festival. And he was on a panel discussion with Virginia Driving Ox Navy from Rapid City and S.D. Nelson, a young readers author in that area. Right. And the three of them talked with about 300 people were in attendance for a really great panel discussion on what exactly does Black Elk mean to the Black Hills and to the state of South Dakota. And then finally, we were able to, our board was able to meet at Pine Ridge this summer. And that was really a very special experience for us for two reasons. We had a tribal elder there from our Scholar Speakers Bureau, who Jace DeCorey is her name, and she works with the Department of Education, who we have a special initiative with for tribal education. That teachers are trained every year throughout the state on tribal education, and this year they were looking at the Asheta-Shakowin standards that are statewide standards that we're getting training out to the teachers about those. So the board got to hear a special report about that. They got to hear about the tribal elders' special role in it, and then all of us gathered at Wounded Knee for some reflections on what that means to the history of the tribal people in South Dakota and what it means in our culture.
We've talked a little bit here, or maybe a lot, about just how often you're in your car, going to different places in the state, meeting people in person, bringing people together physically. Talk a little bit about the technology and of what the Humanities Council does with the blog, for example.
Well, we are very happy to have Ryan Woodard as our communications consultant, and he has been doing blogs throughout the state all year, and we've been able to use it very effectively to get program information out, but also to get announcements about what's going on. And particularly, it was very effective this year because of advocacy. and we use it in conjunction with social media. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account, and our website is what we always encourage people to go to, sdhumanities.org, to get our latest calendar information, but to get all those latest blogs. But I just have to talk about that. How it looked when we began 2017 was pretty grim. We had found out that there was a blueprint budget that was submitted by the president that suggested that NEH and NEA and other cultural organizations all be eliminated for the next year. And then that what ended up being in the detailed budget, not as a zeroed out budget line, but instead a budget line that was just enough money to shut down the agency. So that was very discouraging to us, but we do have a Federation of Humanities Councils that worked on advocacy, and we went to our blog to encourage and ask for scholars and lawyers and board members, everybody in the state that humanities was really important to write about why the humanities. And that was what kicked off, I think, a really wonderful campaign on something we should have been asking that question all along, just as one of the deeper fundamental values of the humanities. But certainly we do things out of necessity sometimes, but we realize how important they can be. And so we had like 12 different essays that appeared throughout the time. And then what we ended up doing was going to those people again when the Federation decided what really needed to be done is we needed to look at advocacy in a different way with the new Congress that was coming in, especially with the pressures with the presidential budget calling for deletion of us. So they decided that all the councils, there's 56 of us in the nation and the U.S. territories, should all get letters from their constituents to be delivered to the House Interior Appropriations Subcommittee chair and the ranking committee person, because we wanted to just let them know how important the Humanities Council was to all of the different people that we work with in our states. So 160 letters were delivered to those two people. And if I have enough time, I would love to read some quotes from that letter, Lori, because we sent in six letters, and three of our letters were direct quoted from, and an attorney in Sioux Falls, Steve Sanford, who you had on an earlier in the moment, one of the Why the Humanities bloggers with Gene Nicholson also. And I would love to read what they wrote in that letter if there's time.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, there were handwritten letters from former Senator Nancy Baker from Kansas, along with the former U.S. Poet Laureate Ted Kooser, who talked about our book festival. And a grantee in South Dakota says council funding allows many of our rural communities to offer programming that just wouldn't happen. The council programs move residents toward becoming more informed and more involved in their communities, making their communities better places to live, work, and raise a family. And then in the final paragraph of the letter, we find an attorney who has been a longtime supporter of the South Dakota Humanities Council says that he is constantly amazed and gratified at what a relatively small amount of financial leadership can do to empower so many good things. Its wonderful effect multiplies far beyond the mere size of NEH. It can truly be called an investment instead of an expenditure, and we can make no better investment than in the wholeness and well-being of our people. And that was by Steve Sanford, and thank you for indulging me, Lord.
Let's jump ahead to 2018. As we wrap up this year, we've got a couple minutes left here, and I'm wondering what's ahead for the Humanities Council as we turn the calendar.
Okay, I'll tell you, there's two big things I'm going to quickly say for fundraising. We went from four campaigns with the endowment support down to two. So we have two left for the coming year. And one of them is the South Dakota Community Foundation, which is statewide. And we have $27,000 that we still need to raise out of our $80,000 dollar three-year goal there. And then we were very fortunate to get from NEH a $100,000 grant award for the One-to-One Young Readers Challenge. We made our first goal of $50,000 May 1st of 2018. We got a $50,000 check for that. That went into the bank account. And we have another generous foundation check from Larson Foundation has that at a $13,000 goal that we need for 2018 by May 1st for the One-to-One Young Readers Challenge. But looking at programming, and this is the first place to have this announced. I know Ryan would have rather had it come from the blog first, but it will be out very soon. We were this year the very, very happy to work with the Mellon Foundation, the Pulitzer Prize Board, and the Federation of State Humanities Council. All the councils in the country are going to be putting on a new Pulitzer Prize initiative that's focusing on journalists, and it's going to be on democracy and the informed citizen. We received $35,000 award, a little bit plus $35,000, and we put that proposal in partnership with the South Dakota Newspaper Association, South Dakota Public Broadcasting again, and the Pulitzer Reporting Center at SDSU, who also has six student Pulitzer Fellows. And we are planning on looking at fake news, the future of the Internet, local issues that might be important in mental health, all kinds of whatever current issues are being looked at. And we hope to bring forums to 11 communities, Madison, Mobridge, Eagle Butte, Yankton, Sisseton, Aberdeen. We hope to have the newspaper association will have their conference in Sioux Falls. And in Vermilion, the Newhart Center awarded Marty Baron, a Pulitzer Prize winner from the Boston Globe and the New York Times. He's won as editor-in-chief there twice. He is the person that received the Newhart Award this year. He will be giving a lecture this spring, and so we will be in partnership with the Newhart Center on bringing him to South Dakota.
That is an exciting lineup for 2018, Sherry DeBoer. You've got your work cut out for you.
We do.
And there's more to talk about. You will come back in January, I hope, and tell us more as things start to roll out. That's our time right now. But thank you so much for being here, Sherry. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Happy holidays.